Welcome to my Doug Unplugged podcast for Sunday, July 16th, 2006. And I thought I'd talk about a few of the things that come along with working for yourself, although it also applies maybe to home use of computers and things. But of course, I don't have an IT department here, and I thought I would just discuss some of the things that can increase the security of your computer experience without causing too much pain and trouble. So some of the things that I've noticed fall into a couple of general categories. One is whatever operating system you're using, I have a couple of rules that I follow. Now, I particularly happen to use a Macintosh OS 10 machine, which, by the way, Symantec just this week, I think, came out with a notice that, yes, they agree that there are no viruses in the wild for Mac OS X, as opposed to about 80,000 for Windows. Number of reasons for that, I suppose. OS X is newer, it's a smaller market share, but it's also a Unix machine. It's harder to write viruses, so that tends to discourage people from doing it. And in fact, the other day I even tried to send myself an email executable in Mac OS X. I tried sending a program and I tried sending a Unix shell script, both of which could potentially be dangerous, to myself through email. Neither of them worked. The program didn't come through at all because the program is really a collection of files, so it looks like one icon in OS X, and the mail program didn't know what to do with it. Nothing showed up at all. The Unix shell script attachment, which is something I wrote that logs me into my website for website maintenance automatically, did come through. Exactly the same file came through, but when I tried to click on and execute it, it wouldn't do it, because apparently there's an execute bit that's part of the Unix operating system that doesn't get sent along in the email, and so it didn't know what to do with that file. And I had to open a terminal window to a Unix change mode command line command on it, and then it would execute just like it used to. So there's no direct way in email. However, there's always, even in OS X and certainly in Windows, there are exploits and things that can happen. So here's my thought on email. Never use the mail client that comes with your operating system. So that would be Outlook Express in Windows, and it would be Mail App in OS X, and I suspect other operating systems have their mail applications as well, various flavors of Linux. Don't use them. Go get a different one that runs on that platform and use that. In particular, I use the Mozilla mail client in the form of Netscape, and the number of Mac users who use that Netscape mail client, I probably represent 0.1% of Mac users, of which themselves represent only 10% of the market. So we're talking about 0.00001% or something. So no one's targeting me on the email. Also, there's another advantage of that particular mail client, although there's others that do the same thing. I believe the Opera mail client, Eudora, and the regular Mozilla Thunderbird, I believe, does this too. And that is an email folder is just an ASCII file. And so one thing I do, if I get a message that looks suspicious, I'm not quite sure what to do with it. I'd like to open it. It might be from a client, but it could also be spam or worse. I have a little icon in the lower right-hand side of my screen here, and it's a shortcut into the mail folder. And if I see a suspicious piece of email, I move it over into a folder which I call virus check, starting with a hyphen, and the hyphen causes it to appear at the top of the file listing. And then I go down and I hit that little icon, and it opens up the folder, and I see hyphen virus check, and I have it set to open in text edit, just a plain ASCII text program, and I read the message in ASCII text without ever actually opening the message, and I can determine there, but half the time it's something I really want. Someone wasn't too specific on the subject line or something, and maybe half the time it's either spam or worse, some piece of malware, and I just delete it without ever opening it. So that's a great advantage of using a mail program that stores its mail folders as ASCII files. You can look at them even in Windows safely. On the browsing front, I have a similar philosophy. Don't use the browser that came with your machine. So that would be IE on Windows, and it would be Safari on the Mac these days. My favorite browser is Opera, because Opera, it has features that others come along with 2 or 3 years later. Everyone else gets them, and by then Opera's 2 or 3 years ahead. I love it. It's a free browser now, but again, in the Mac world, It probably represents 5% of the Mac users, which represent themselves 10% of the total. So 5% of 10%. Again, no one's targeting me on the browser side either. It's too small a target. The other thing is, at least on the Mac side, one disadvantage on the Mac side is the only way you can update your Safari browser is to download the complete update of the operating system, which has many other things in which often break things. So with Opera, I keep it updated. I just download a small file each time, every now and then, and just copy it over the old Opera, and it works. Everything just works. It's very simple. The risk to the operating system is low because I'm not doing anything other than updating it. And it would be easy for me to back out to the old version as well if I needed to. Whereas if you screw up your operating system with some overall update, that's not so easy. And I suspect that's the case. When they update IE, it's probably as part of the overall Windows update. And there's always a risk when you do an overall update that something's going to go wrong. So I prefer to do incremental updates of just individual things that I'm using. Anyway, so that's two of the things I use in the computer world. Another one would be... which had nothing to do with the operating system or the computer, I think it's a good idea to have a little router between you and the outside world. I carry a little four-port Linksys router around on trips that I have room to bring it, and I'll plug my computer into the hotel system, get signed in, and then I've got the little router to mimic the MAC address, which is the Ethernet address. I don't know what the letters MAC stand for there. It's just the Ethernet address. So the computer... the system in the hotel thinks is my computer. It's really my little router here. And then I talk to it through the router from then on. Sometimes I have to set some other parameters. If the address of the router overlaps things in the hotel router, I sometimes have to change things. But then I'm safe. It insulates me from the hotel, and people can't scan my machine and so forth. A little bit of trouble, but it also means that we did this on vacation recently. I have a little external wireless gadget, and I plugged it into this router, and I plugged my wife's machine, my daughter's machine, and my machine into the router. We all shared that single wireless connection, where some hotels might not let you do that. So that's sort of a handy thing. And just a little Linksys four-port router, and you have to do a little getting used to setting it up. But that's a handy little gadget to have. If I'm just going somewhere overnight in a hotel and it's just me, I don't necessarily bother. But if I'm going to be there any length of time, I like to use that router. So that was just some observations. I'm also trying a new microphone out here. This is actually a USB mic. Looks like a regular microphone, but there's a codec inside of it. And what comes out the back of the microphone is a USB cord, plugs into any machine. And then all you need is recording software, which I already have. I plugged it into my OS X machine, and it recognized it, knew what it was, and I'm recording with it instantly. So, I don't know how this thing sounds. It'll be interesting to see when I listen back how it sounds relative to my regular microphone, but I thought I'd give it a try and see how it does, because this will be very convenient on trips, when I go on trips, not to bring a big mixer and things with me. Although I'm limited to one microphone, it's a lot less hardware to bring, and I can interview people much more simply. So, again, thanks for listening. I thought I'd just give you these few tips of some of the things that I do. And, of course, the whole field of computer security is very complicated, and we could spend a whole day on it. If you really want to get in more depth than this, I would suggest going to Steve Gibson's website, Security Now. You can also pick it up from the This Week in Technology site, which is TWIT for This Week in Technology, TWIT.TV, like television, twit.tv. And they've got many, many shows there. Detail, that's a great thing to do. Okay, well, again, thanks for listening. And probably about mid-next week, I'll come out with the next Doug Unplugged podcast.